Susie. Thank you. Okay, that's why I stick around. So.
I was walking.
I saw you. You were just kicking right in. That was nice. It was beautiful. You got a clicker thing. Oh, sorry, I missed this. I was trying to catch you. Don't look behind me, everyone. It's just a standard White Rock transition. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here at all. Hey, no, because I wanted you to get credit for something really special. This is... Okay, yeah, why not? No one knows why. Sometimes you just got to clap for Susie and it all works out. That's how that works, right? So... A couple weeks ago, Susie asked me a question that I thought was really, I mean, I appreciated the question a lot. It's summertime, it's graduation Sunday, we got a lot of stuff going on, and usually I do like the summer sandal series or something crazy, and I'm going to get the sandals out soon, but my toes are too cold at like 60, but Susie said, hey, why aren't you wearing those cheesy Jesus t-shirts this summer? Yes, and I was like, Susie, are you asking me as an elder in our church to wear my t-shirts all summer long?
Elder.
See, I told you. Okay, in my office this morning, I said.
I am elder.
This is what I said, Susie. I said to Tom, I said, I want to give Susie credit for this idea because it was hers and I love it. But I want to say, you know, this sister in Christ, and Tom said, well, you got to honor your elders. And I said, I'm not going to say elder in front of everybody. That's why I said it, just so you know. So thank you, Susie. You can have a seat. I appreciate it very much. Thanks. All right.
My wife's not here. I don't know what I'm doing.
I told you that wasn't going to work, Tom. I told you. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So it's summertime, and summertime is so much fun, especially at White Rock and loving Jesus. And so you're going to see a lot of cheesy t-shirts up here, but... Today, we're going to have a little baptism action, too, so a little foreshadowing, right? Jesus doesn't surf with a board, right? Or, yeah, something like that. Okay, so it is Grad Sunday, and because it's Grad Sunday, we need to honor our graduates, right? That's important. And no more school, no more books, no more whatever, teacher's dirty looks, I don't know. So let's do this. If you see your name on the screen, come on up and join me, if you would, please. Oh, Alexis, come on up, if you would, please. And Brody, come on up if you would, please. Brianna, I don't know if she's here. Gary, I didn't see Gary. And Lena, come on up. That'd be great. Come on up here and join me, guys, if you would. You can just stand right here. Super fantastic.
I was not planning to get wet today.
You weren't planning on coming up here today?
No, I wasn't planning to get wet.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to dig. Well, there is sort of a special dunk of graduation that we're instituting this year. It's going to be really great. So, man, you guys look so much smarter than last week. This is amazing, really. I mean, this is impressive stuff. Really, really cool. Well, we want to honor our graduates because that's a big deal, a big accomplishment, right? Could have dropped out, could have given up, but you didn't. Got that diploma, crushed it. You never have to go to school again, unless you want to, or your parents tell you you have to. One of those two things is going to line up really, really great. But it's a big deal to graduate. And really proud of you guys. And as a church, now I was noticing, like, what, 3 out of 5? They say that... A pretty high percentage of students, once they graduate, leave the church. So, man.
Brianna's getting her diploma right now.
Oh, yeah, she is getting her diploma right now in Pennsylvania, and Gary's probably at work. But besides those two things, we got a pretty good group of graduates this year. We're really proud of you guys. So, I don't know if you guys are like me or not, but graduation ceremonies are pretty fun. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, the speeches are amazing. You get to sit in this huge crowd. No, Tracy? You've been to a few?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm always really honored when people send me their open house invitation, but don't let me come to their graduation because there's just not enough spots, you know? That's been the best thing ever. When school started saying you can only have so many people come, because now it's like, man, I'd love to sit there for 3 hours and clap for you at the end, but I'll just go to your house and give you money instead. And it's kind of a perfect partnership, right? Well, so I was thinking about graduation this Sunday. And we have a lot of things we're going to do, and I just wanted to do something that I thought would connect with this young generation. So I'm going to get on my phone, and I'm going to push an app button right there. And we're going to Instagram church lot. I'm just kidding. I don't even know how to do that. But I'm going to use the White Rock app right here, because in this little section, see what that section is?
Yeah.
You guys know how to use this?
I don't have the app yet.
You know how to use the church app, guys? Come on, you guys can do everything on your phones. So you're going to hit that Bible app right there, and it's going to pull up this book, Colossians chapter 1. And as I was reading Colossians this week, I was thinking, man, Paul must have been at a graduation ceremony because he crushed it in this graduation speech. Why are you texting me hi, son? See? And the only reason it wasn't Nate Harshman is because he's on security next door, and we all know that. So, well, I wanted to read to you what Paul said to the graduates way, like 2,000 years ago. But it's really a secret because it's not just to you guys, it's to the whole church. But listen to what he says. Starting in chapter 1 and verse, let's see where this is. I never do this on the phone. It's kind of fun. Verse 9 says this. And so, John Hunt, you should make Lena read. That's good. I should make Lena read. But as soon as I give this phone away, I'll lose my place. Yeah. Welcome to Graduation Humiliation Sunday here at White Rock Fellowship. We like to, right, good times. Brody's doing the wise approach. Don't make eye contact, fold your arms, stay quiet. This guy's a pro. So back to church. Verse 9 says this, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Which is really a cool statement. You know, like, really, people have been praying for you your whole life. We've been praying for you in relationship as long as we've known you as a church. And we're going to keep praying for you guys going forward. And really, we ought to pray for each other. Just a little nudge there. We have not ceased to pray for you, asking this, that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That you'll know what his will is, his purpose, his direction, what he wants you to do in situations. With all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you'll be wise and discerning as you navigate life. So, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, right? Hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That your choices, that the things that you do or that you don't do would be pleasing to him and honoring to him as you walk out this life. You guys getting ready to launch into college life. And whatever comes in this season for you guys, and in this chapter, 1,000 directions, 1,000 choices, but the prayer that you would see God's will and his direction in each one of these steps, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, having an impact, making a difference with what you do and how you spend your life. It's for all of us too, just for the record, right? Bearing fruit. And growing and increasing in the knowledge of God, knowing him better and better every single day. And I love verse 11, says this, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. May you be made strong, not in your own strength, but in the power of God's glorious might, that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead would be at work in you as you do life and as you navigate the days ahead and what you're doing. And I love this little qualifier. You have all this power, right? For a purpose. For all endurance and patience. That God would fill you with power so you can endure and you can be patient as you navigate the days ahead. And this is so cool. Endurance and patience with joy. God's design is not that you grind through misery, hopelessness, and despair, but rather that as you, through his strength, patiently endure and navigate this next chapter and season, that you do it to stand and be patient, but with crazy joy, because he brings joy and hope in the midst of what we face. Always giving thanks to God the Father. Always remembering to be grateful, saying, thank you, Lord, for this moment, for this challenge, for this opportunity, right? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Oh, that's so important. You guys are qualified through Jesus. Qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. We've been redeemed and bought back from sin and death. And we experience forgiveness for all our sin. That's a pretty good speech. This is where, you know, you throw your cap and gown. No, just your cap, not your gown. Keep your gown on. I suppose that's awkward. I don't know. Weird graduations, right? Things happen. We're super proud of you guys, and I want you to know that my prayer for you guys, and I hope our prayer as a church, is that you'll experience this whole Colossians awesome picture that Paul paints of stepping into this chapter with your eyes fixed on Jesus and experience all the great things that come in store. We're behind you. We're in your corner. We're pulling for you. Everybody in this little room right here staring you down, like, these people are for you guys. And you're going to run into some stuff where you're like, man, this world's telling me one thing. Jesus is telling me another. And you need to talk to some of these people because these people have walked that journey too. And they've wrestled and they've struggled and they've fallen and they've made mistakes. But God's been so cool all the way along to help walk with us. And we're praying that he's going to walk with you guys. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you don't have to stand here pretend like you're paying attention anymore. You guys did great. It's summertime. Lord, thank you so much for these incredible students who are now free of school and ready to step into an incredible life that you've been preparing for them as adults in this world. Many will go to jobs and colleges and adventures that only even you know about right now. But Father, I pray that you would bless them and you would protect them, that you would guide them, that you would give them through your glorious might, you'd give them power to endure, to be patient, to be filled with joy, giving thanks always as they navigate the next chapter that lies before them. Thank you for each of them, how much they mean to us as a family. And Lord, we're just praying tremendous blessing and joy in the days ahead for each of them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hey, love you guys. Thanks for standing up here and listening that whole time. It was good, dude. Even if you didn't want to do it. All right. Great stuff. I'm just going to keep my phone open because I keep getting a lot of good texts from everybody. I'm just kidding. You guys stop. That was good. Hey, here's the cool part about this special time we're having. I don't have a click. I do have a clicker. Sorry. So if you've ever been to a graduation, you know that there's not just one, right? That one speaker gets done and you're like, oh, we get to go home. Like, no. There's more commencement addressing. But I'm really excited because I'm going to invite Roger up here because Roger is going to share with you some things laid on his heart for grads, dads, and everyone in between now. So that's how we're going to transition this. But Roger contacted me this week, I don't want to say sheepishly, but very like humbly to say, I feel like God's got something he's really working on me about.
5 minutes.
And I don't want to say anything, but I think I'm supposed to. And I was like, well, then of course you're supposed to, my friend. So we're going to do a subtle White Rock transition with this microphone. You won't even know it's happening. And Roger is going to take the stage here. We were going to leave all this stuff folded up, but everybody decided it'd be more fun to watch you trip on it. So I don't know what's going on. We'll get you way up there. We'll get you set. And then, buddy, you can have the floor. We're excited to hear what God has to say.
Okay. You get clean air there?
No.
No clean air? This is a back pocket. If you want the back pocket. Dude, what are you doing to make me do this?
Hello, test 1, 2, 3. Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to go pie here because of my bifocals don't go down that far. I wanted to start out today with prayer. A lot of us have been through tough and some hard times. There's many that have gone through the last few years, myself included. We've got many that are going to go through hard times. And I came across a prayer that is the type of prayer that you would wear your knees out for, that you would be on your knees to pray with an open heart. And it just spoke to me. It's a short prayer. I'm going to start with that prayer. If you'd bow your heads, please. Father, Lord, there is a war that's raging in my soul. Fear and faith are fighting constantly for control. I've been blindsided by an unexpected storm, and I feel frozen, and I can hardly stand. This is far apart from what I have planned. Lord, I have so many questions, but no answers are coming. But even though I'm scared to death, Lord, you haven't failed me, and you won't start now. There's never been a moment I slipped out of your hands. Not a promise that you've made that you haven't kept. Looking back, I see the winds of grace always guiding, always steering me. Every mountain you have overcome. So I will stand in confidence in who you are and who you've always been. You have never, ever let me down or drowned. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to talk today. I had a good conversation over the last several weeks with a friend on pride and vanity. You know who you are. Pride and vanity is something that we have a lot within the church throughout the United States. We have it within our own hearts at times. We can be the most rock-solid Christian, but that pride and vanity keeps us from being who we need to be in Christ so many times. I got a call on a Sunday night about my wife. And at that point in time, I had a fever that was unbelievable. And I felt I couldn't even walk. I hadn't been that sick in years. Had no idea why I was that sick. At that point in time, though, I was sick for a reason. When my wife needed me the most, believe it or not, God had to put me on the bench. And he had to put me on the bench because my pride and vanity would not let the kingdom of God take care of my wife. Because I would have done it myself. I'm the man. I don't need help. I would have called on my way from Michigan to Jamie and Andy, and I would have said, hey, keep Kathy in prayer. We're rushing her in real quick. Something's not right. He said, what hospital? I say, I don't know. That's how that would have transpired. I'll keep you posted. Instead, I was totally out of control, and I had no choice, and I had to reach out. And then next thing I know, an army ascended on my wife. And that army would not have been there if it was for my pride and for my arrogance and my vainness that I don't want people to know my problems necessarily, even if they are medical problems. That's something that keeps a lot of us men held back. But as time went on, God mended me, allowed me to come up there. And I praise God that I was able to squeeze my wife's hand and she was able to squeeze back. I was able to wipe that tear from the corner of her eye before she passed. That was such a blessing that I don't know that I would have had without all the love and support that everybody here gave that led that charge, that took care where I was failing. And at that point in time, you could not write a more beautiful ending. Anybody that was there was fantastic. But I didn't come up here to talk about me and Kathy and what happened that day. I came to talk because that pride and vanity is what keeps you from your full commitment to God and the directions we are going. And we've had some fantastic preaching up here lately. And I certainly didn't want to blow that. I wanted to share during sharing time for 5 minutes, but I didn't want to take up a lot of time. So I just called Andy, and the next thing you know, you're preaching. So it's just a fair warning to anyone else. I think he gets that from his father. So after I laid my wife to rest, I went back home and did what I normally do. I closed myself into this beautiful little home with the sounds of the birds, watching the birds going in the birdhouses, watching the whatever that quick flying bird is. What is it, Mom? Hummingbird, thank you. Keeping the hummingbird. See, my wife wasn't there. I just found out this week I'm not supposed to feed raisins to my dog, by the way, because my wife's not there. And it's like, oh my gosh, I about killed my dog. Anyway, I understand why wives are there. I really do. Oh my gosh. So anyway, I closed myself off. I made my list because if anybody knows me, I'm a list person. And I had my spiral bound and I'm going out. I even had to put on their clean living room. Not if I didn't already know I'm sitting in a mess, but I had to put it on the list. And that list was not there because I had a brain that was fogged by the loss of my wife. I had it there because when you ask me, how are you doing? I say, I'm doing good. When you ask me, do you want to go out to eat? No, I'm busy. I got a list. My list is more important than going out to eat with you. And so I had a built-in excuse. Well, as I'm sitting on my porch one morning, God just started really hammering me hard. I had enough love with my wife. If anybody knows our story, my gosh, there's enough love to last me a lifetime. I am good with that. I'm content. I got my schedule now. We're good. Oh, God beat me up hard that morning. And it was a tough morning. So there I am, falling back into my old ways, not needing anyone. Of course, God didn't let me off the hook. You know, one thing I did learn through all this is, you know, I don't make any decisions off of feelings or emotions. Can't do that. You do that, you're going to go wrong. So I was really good about that. But the rest of it, I was kind of losing ground on. So as God worked on me on that, I thought, okay, God, I'll do some things. I even told my mom. I said, I'm gonna go help with spreading mulch. So I got here early that morning. There's probably three people here because it's the right walk, wait way. Everybody's late. And I says, let's go. So I got my wagon. I was the first one out there. I start shoveling. And next thing you know, there's 20, 30 of us out here doing landscaping. Afterwards, we went to lunch. Oh, okay. So I did my part. I went home and I started getting back on my list. Getting back. And by the way, I love living in the country. So I'm not taking that away from anything. I do love getting alone with God, but you can't let that be your prison or your cage. You just can't do it. So then it's like, okay, God says that's not enough. Well, then we're doing clothing giving away, I think, the next weekend, and there's a sign-up sheet, and there's this annoying email that comes from Jamie, and you're from, you know, go to this link, and, you know, you can sign up. And it's like, okay, look, the shortest one was an hour and a half. I can help with cleanup at the end. Perfect. So I come in, help clean up, and guess what? We go to lunch. It's like, all right. Don't get me wrong. I love people. I love being around people. I love learning about people. I love learning about characters. But at this point in my life, I just want to be alone. That's just where I was at. So then, prior to my wife passing, several times Lamar and Sandy asked me and Kathy out to eat. I love Lamar and Sandy. Just rock solid with so much that we've learned from them. I'm still confused about the Garden of Eden and not having trains in it, but I'm, you know, might have to take the class again. But anyway, with that being said, I always had an excuse. In one case, we had our son with us, like, we can't go, sorry, he's sick, he's not feeling good. And another time, this, that, or the other. Then she passed away, and they still asked me out. You want to go out to eat? Yeah. So finally, I told God, all right, if they ask me out to eat again, I will go. So they asked me out to eat. I says, well, that's great. And they said, well, do you like Mexican? I thought, yes, I got it. I got a technicality here. No, I hate Mexican. Well, that's good. We'll go to Applebee's. Okay, so we went to Applebee's. And I know I'm telling on myself a lot, so this is pretty tough because I'm a shallow man. But they started probing and asking a lot of questions. And there were questions, whether they know it or not, that was really bringing a lot out of me. They wanted to know where I was at. They wanted to know what I was doing in this type of ministry and that ministry and where I was at. Because any ministry I ever worked here, I was always right there at the top running it. Whether it was concert ministries or youth retreat, I was never somebody out there spreading mulch. I can't explain why. I know you're supposed to say, my job was to serve my wife. That's all I was concerned about. It really was. And so this has kind of brought me out of my shell a little bit. So since Kathy's passing, I've had one bad day that was the day that, you know, you can't breathe. You just feel like life's not going to go on. Not because you're going to do anything wrong or bad. It's just that you just can't move. I had two nights. The day was April 9th. That was my birthday. I turned 50-ish and somewhere in there. And it was also the anniversary at Lee surrendered to Grant at Appomattox Courthouse. But that's beside the point. I wanted to be a history teacher growing up, by the way. But being a railroader kid, I didn't have a choice. I'm a railroader. So anyway, with that being said, that was a very tough day because that was also the 30th anniversary of our first date. And that was very difficult. That was I just can't express how hard that day was. Then I had one night after we laid her to rest. It was one of those typical nights that just tore you up. Heavy chest, felt like I couldn't breathe. I had my blood pressure cup on checking, and it was going to take me out. The next morning, I texted Jamie and Andy, and I get all these nice, long text messages, which were absolutely wonderful, but I got angry. And I didn't get angry because of what they said. I got angry because no one understood. You just don't get where I'm at. A lot of people in here gets this because a lot of people's lost spouses. We lost our daughter 2.5 years before this. So not only did I lose my wife, I lost my daughter 2.5 years before this. So I have righteous anger in this, right? No, I don't. So I praise them for their text messages. Don't get me wrong. I really do. They meant a lot to me. And over time, I calmed down. I was able to start breathing. The chest started feeling like it was coming back, that the lungs were filling back up. And then I thought I had that beat. Since then, I've went to lunch multiple times learning how to eat Mexican food. And I'm learning to open up to people. Memorial Day, had some friends, had a cookout, had a wonderful time. I still tried to isolate myself. I took the most uncomfortable seat there was back between a wall and a table and tried to stay away from people. I see you smiling, Jeff. But I still engaged. And then as soon as I had an opportunity, I got up with my new friend Nancy and we started washing dishes just so that we could, so I could be away from everything. And I left there very happy, content, didn't see it coming. 12:30 at night, my dog likes to beat on the door with her tail to tell me she wants out. I let her out and I suddenly fall to the ground with no air. It was back. I had just opened up. I just spent time. What am I doing wrong? God, take this pain from me. Please take this pain from me. That was a hard night. So that next morning, I texted my men's group up in Michigan. Fabulous guys. I actually texted them this morning to pray for me on this. They were the group that I went to when Autumn passed away because I was stuck up there and I needed a good group, and I got a good group of men, much like what we got here. I texted a friend here. I even put in that text that I didn't want to contact Jamie and Andy because I didn't want to wear them out. I got a text back along the lines of, you're not wearing anybody out. That morning, with no sleep, I had to start a two-day trip, do an inspection in, near St. Louis, Illinois, or St. Louis, Missouri. I think it's still in Missouri. And then Silvis, Illinois, the next day. I had 15 hours of driving in 2 days, 28 hours of work in 2 days. That's pretty typical for me, if anybody knows how I was raised. My mom's here, so that was I learned from my dad. So with that 15 hours, after coming off of a very difficult night, no sleep, I decided not to turn on the radio, not to listen to any podcast, but put my Christian music in. My Christian music's probably 85% of it you wouldn't hear on mainstream radio. A lot of it's worship, but a lot of it's rock. But I'm very big on what's the meaning of the song, who wrote it, why'd you write it, when did you write it, what were you in at that time? 15 hours of listening to that. I get back on Wednesday night, come Thursday morning. I'm doing my get up at, when I'm not at work, I'm up at 5 a.m. When I'm at work, I get up at 4 a.m. And I don't have to be in until 7. So, you know, I spend 3 hours in eating breakfast, worshiping, reading my Bible. I've done that for several years. But Thursday morning ended up being just an overwhelming time in a good way. Because I just had that 15 hours of just listening to God's word through Christian music. And my Bible reading, my sermons that day that I was watching while I was eating breakfast, everything just spoke to me. And I just fell to my knees because I realized I was praying the wrong prayer. And I don't know who this, forgive me, I grew up Baptist, so I don't know who this is for today, but I know you're here. But anyway, amen, brother. All right. Did I do that okay, Rusty? All right, buddy. Amen. But I fell to my knees because I realized that when we pray, we have a tendency to pray for all our needs, all our wants, for the pain to go away. And you know what we're missing by that? If that pain was to go away, there's nothing wrong with praying that. But if that's all our prayer's about, we're missing the fact that God is pruning us. Because without that pruning, if we truly want that to go away, we are not going to be who God wanted us to begin with. So a bunch of bushes on a neighbor's property behind my mom's. We were just talking about it yesterday. I bet those bushes are only designed to be 3 foot tall. They're 15 foot tall. And as my mom said yesterday, I don't even know what the original bush was. That's what would happen to us without that pruning. Even as hard as it is, no matter what you're going through, no matter whether we're here for 2 days or 20 years or another 50 years, we need that pruning. And then we have to step back and we have to say, God, what do you have for me? What are you doing in my life that I'm missing? So this morning when I wrote on my prayer journal, I wrote the following. It says, what are you doing in my life that I'm missing because I'm too preoccupied worrying about today, tomorrow, or next year? How am I messing this up by throwing all of my needs that I want on you instead and take the pain from me instead of allowing the pruning to take place? It just, once again, just reassured myself that I've been praying wrong. It's not that you don't pray for the pain to go away, but that you learn from it. My grace is sufficient is what he told Paul. My grace is sufficient. So, with that being said, obviously I've been working on some ministries. I actually reached out, done something I haven't done in years. I reached out to a friend to take a role on that I had my wife taking care of in ministry. And that was the hardest call I've made in a long time. And it was somebody from this church, the kingdom. So I'm starting to do my part. I hope everybody here will hold me accountable. But then I got reading into Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he calls all the wizards and sorcerers and prophets and all the soothsayers and says, I need you to interpret this dream. They said, that's great. Tell us what the dream is. And I said, nah, you tell me what the dream is and interpret it. And if you can't, I'm going to kill y'all, as Susie would say, y'all. I'm going to kill y'all. So obviously they said, well, if you don't tell us the dream, we can't interpret it. Feel free to look it up yourself, Daniel chapter 2. So the chief guard comes to arrest Daniel, and he says, well, what for? And he tells him, and he goes, well, let me talk to the king. So he goes to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, give me some time. Give me some time to consult God. I said, okay. First thing Daniel does, does anybody know what the first thing he does? What's he do?
He goes for help to pray.
He asks for help for pray. Three of his best friends. He says, we've got to pray for mercy on this. Not only is it us, the Jews, that are going to die, but everybody else that doesn't even know who our God is going to die, that has to do with sorcery and what have you. All hope will be lost. So here's Daniel, I'm sure much better than me in a lot of ways, asking first thing for prayer help. And that's where I dropped the ball so many times, and I'm so apologetic for that. That's why I was sick, no doubt about it. That's why I was stuck up there. So with that, they end up coming back. Daniel says, well, here's the dream. In a nutshell, you dreamed of and I'm paraphrasing, a statue, all these different metals, gold, silver, brass, or bronze. I don't remember them all. Feel free to look it up. But it ended with clay feet. So these are the five kingdoms that have come after you that will fail. And upon that last one failing will come an eternal kingdom that lasts forever. Now, that was a prophecy given that you can go back into any study Bible and you can see Persian empires, Alexander the Great, the Roman Empire was the clay feet, by the way. As those all failed is when we saw Christ come for the first time and provide us with this kingdom that we now know that we have here in our hearts when we repent and accept Christ. But let me ask you this. Did you ever think about the Jews that are living through all those empires? And they're looking at that prophecy, and they're saying, boy, I wish I could live in those times when that kingdom that lasts forever will be here. You know, that's where we're at right now, and we take it for granted. But yet, if we were back then, we would be begging for it. Now we look all the time, and all we're doing is a lot of Christians are, well, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Hey, I can't either. But that's not what we're to concentrate on. Because if we're concentrating on that, we're missing what we're supposed to be doing here right now. And so that just really hit me strong. And that kingdom that I keep talking about that is eternal is right here. It's 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 every man, woman, and child that accepted Jesus Christ in their hearts. That is the kingdom of God. It's all around. Guess what? That's what was in that hospital room that took care of my wife when this man could not do that. We live upon a prophecy that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. That's where we're at right now. We are blessed, despite what's going on in the world around us. So, I'm going to wrap this up with a quote. This quote comes from a movie. A lot of us will know this as soon as I start. And no, it's not Top Gun. That's one of my, a lot of my quotes come from there. But I'll set the scene for you. It's a 1950s cafe. Two old men sitting at a counter with a little boy, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. Looks a lot like John Alexander. I already hear laughing back there. They already know the scene. Bunch of punks come in and start harassing them. And the one old man looks to the other old man and says, "Don't kill him." So the old man stands up and he grabs the one punk by the neck and he says, "And I'm sorry, Susie, I'm not an actor. I would have memorized this because it would have been much better, but I'm Hub McCann. I fought in 2 world wars and countless smaller ones and on three continents. I've led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses and swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and tribes of natives no white man has ever seen before. I've won and lost a dozen fortunes, killed many men, and loved only one woman with a passion, a flea like you could never understand. That's who I am. Now go home, boy." That's who we should be. For us men, for us young men that haven't found their spouses yet, we need to love with passion in everything we do. One thing my mom and dad taught me is they were gross. They were passionate. You know, they fought like cats and dogs just as well. But I'm telling you, if there's anything that I've learned from them, it was passion. It was the green eye notes and the dancing suddenly in the middle of nowhere that disgusted me as a child. But you know what? I carried that on through my wife, through my spouse. Plus, listen to country songs, you realize, what did the idiot do to have to write a song like that? Because I guarantee 9 times out of 10, it's the guy. Not to say that, but it's normally the guy. Young ladies, watch out. You look for that man that's going to love you passionately. And the men in this church, I don't care how old you are, how much energy you've got left, you love with passion. That is another man's daughter that was raised specifically for you. And we take that for granted every day. Don't take it for granted. And I pray to God that I think my wife would say I didn't take it for granted, especially those last 10 years. By the way, that opening prayer was from a song, from Honor and Glory. So through the valleys and the mountains, even with my hard-headedness, this is the God of my story. What is yours? Thank you.
Thank you, Roger, so much for your vulnerability and sharing. Those of you who don't know, when did Kathy pass away, Roger? What was the day?
March 21st.
March 21st, so.
Hey, we talked about the fact that, I can talk loud. We talked about the fact there in that quote.
There you go, man.
So we talked about Hub McCann there in that quote. So that's who we should be. And I apologize, I didn't have this in my notes. I forgot. So, with that being said, Hub McCann talked about loving his wife passionately. Great. But let's take this the next step further. Talked about going in a battle of 1,000 men, what have you. I've been there. I was there when Ryan Christopher, coming right out of youth group, became a youth leader at Mockport, Indiana, with all these
the skit, the silly little skit that he came up with off of YouTube. When he was done, without an altar call, we had over 30 kids for over 3.5 hours on their knees. Every single one of them. Some of them may even be in here. I can tell you, Clayton Phillips was there. Zach Fearing was there. John Alexander was there. There was several girls. And let me tell you, that was a bloody battlefield because they left a lot there. Not to mention the weeds and stuff was hard on their knees. We finally at 1:30 in the morning told them we have to go to bed. We've got to start this in the morning again. That's what they're talking about when we're going to the battlefield, because even though some of those kids are not following Christ right now fully, that seed's planted. I saw it. And it's going to carry into 1,000 people. We've got a youth retreat coming up this weekend. We've got battles going on right now, whether you know it or not, that's trying to stop kids from going, leaders from going. You need to keep them prayed up, because that's going to be a heck of a battle. And we're excited about it, what God is going to do. In addition to those leaders, I'm going to call up some of our elders just to stand up. Pastor Marty, Pam, go ahead, stand up. Russell, Debbie, come on, stand up. Or Russell, Rusty, yeah. Already got him standing. Where's Jamie? Stand up. All right, so these are some of the older elders. I'm sorry, you're already there. So they have seen more battles than you can shake a stick at, led thousands of men into battle. Even when the grass was still stained from the flames of the fire and the helicopter already took off, his number one worry was the men left behind and what they were going to be worrying about. Instead of him, they wanted to worry about where they were at with God. These are the women, as a result of those being loved passionately, that are saving our wives, that are there for our wives when they're dying. I'm telling you, you've got a team here that is remarkable. Thank you. You sit down. Josiah, Mr. High. Russell, stand up. I'm sure there's others. This is the next generation. These are our warriors. These are our McCains, the man, the old man from that just sent the young ones away because he dared ask who he was. These are the guys that are going to be fighting these battles with their spouses. Praise God. Sorry, forgot that.
All right. Thank you, Roger. Last time I let you do that, man, I'm going to lose my job. That was good. That was tremendous stuff. Thank you. Yeah, so just March here. A lot of that's very raw, and it's been quite an adventure walking with Roger through that. I sure do love his transparency and his heart, and I think that's pretty evident. Don't have to say much to that. Man, Roger's committed to Jesus and cares a lot about stuff. If you were here for Easter, he was really frustrated that the funeral was going to kind of derail Easter. And he was like, do not talk about Kathy and my story. Make sure the gospel is what we do on Easter. Don't ruin that. We're not going to let that happen. And man, what a heart for the Lord. So Roger, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you sharing and your willingness to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, and from passion to love and to share the gospel and to, man, what do we read in Colossians? That the being qualified and transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We're going to move into a time of baptism, and I am super excited about this opportunity to do baptism here as we come into this space. One of the things about baptism, I don't know if you're familiar with White Rock and how we do stuff, but we believe in believer's baptism. Some places will do like an infant baptism and things like that for small children. And we do baby dedications where we dedicate our children to the Lord and ourselves to help and guide and direct our children in the Lord. And when it comes to baptism, we believe in something called believer's baptism, that somebody's old enough to understand that they have a sin condition, that because of our sin, we're separated from God. But through the gift of Jesus and his death on the cross, he paid the price for our sin so that through him, the way, the truth, and the life, through our faith in him, we can be reconnected to God in relationship and experience a glorious inheritance in eternity because of that. That's our hope in Christ. And so we believe in baptizing people who can understand that. And that means sometimes we have kids getting baptized, and sometimes we have people all across the spectrum getting baptized. But this morning, we're going to do something really, really special with Austin Wright and his crew. And so I'm going to invite Austin to sneak up here and join me. And I was going to have my dad sneak up here because he likes to get to be part of the... He actually asked if he could hold you down for a little bit. But Dad, if you want to come up here and join me, I'm going to have you join in baptizing Austin here. And something that we normally do, and Corey, please come. Thank you very much. Let me lay out a little bit of what we're going to do. We're going to baptize Austin, and then we're going to get an opportunity for Austin to be part of baptizing his own dad, which is pretty epic, and then his daughter. And that's a really, really special thing. And as we get ready to do baptism, I'm going to let your dad read something outside of the water. And so I don't know if you wanted to say something out here or you want to wait till you get in the water, but either way, I just can't let your dad electrocute himself with his phone in the tub. It'd be a great White Rock moment, I'm just saying. But
I can say something now. I'll keep it quick because I know the amount of coffee the three of us drink, two of us have to go to the bathroom, so... next week I've got Lisa and I are celebrating a big anniversary. I'm gonna try not to look at her because I know I'll lose it. 15 years, and without her, I know that myself and none of my family would be here. So, thank you.
That's more than enough, my friend. All right, well, we're going to get you in this tub here so you can lose those sandals and step right in. And tell you what, I'm going to take your spot, Dad. Yeah, that way when Austin gets out, I don't get wet. I'm just kidding. That's not why. But so Dax and I had a little... the kids are ready? Okay, fantastic. Well, we're going to bring the kids in and let them join us because family baptism is kind of a big deal. Yeah, you can sit right down there. We had a little miscommunication... Is it warm? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't supposed to be this warm. It got started a little later than we thought, so it may be hot. But... Awesome. All right. Well, kids, if we can get y'all over maybe onto this side right here. Yeah. Over here. That's perfect. Oh, you going to put them in chairs? Awesome. Not that it's not fun to step over the kids on the way to the baptismal and out, but... We love having the kids come over and get to see believers' baptism and be a part of that, especially when a friend of theirs like Livy gets to be in it. It's pretty special, pretty cool. If you want to, Lisa, you can sneak up to that front row for sure. Anybody else who wants a better view, you bet. You guys sneak right on up here. We tried to have Josh sit right in the front and block everything. Man, what are you doing? I don't know, buddy. Come on, man. Oh, awesome. Get a chance to get everybody in? All right. Rusty, you going to hold this thing for me, buddy? All right. Well, my friend, this is a special thing to get to do, for sure. Really, really excited to have this step. And Jesus, you know, he talked to us about baptism and his word. And, you know, baptism, this water doesn't wash away our sin. The blood of Jesus does, but it's symbolic of our death to sin and being raised to life in Christ and how Jesus' blood washes away our sin. And today, you'd like to be baptized in obedience to Christ and have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it's a pretty spectacular thing getting to lead your family in this, my friend. All right. Well, Austin, this day, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No, plug your nose, buddy. Lord Jesus, thank you for Austin. Thank you for his friendship and the man that he is in our church, the father, the husband, the son, the friend. Lord, thank you for his decision to follow you and his faithfulness to follow you. And Lord, this opportunity here to do baptism together with his family and make this public proclamation and statement of his faith in you. Father, I pray that you would just guide and direct him in the days ahead as husband, as a dad, and as a son, Lord, that you would make the path just crazy clear for him, that you would illuminate every step, every choice, every moment, that you would be right beside him, that he would feel your presence in a crazy way, that just every day, all the time, just your spirit right there with him. Father, I pray that you would give him great fruit in his life, that he would have tremendous impact, that he would experience that power that comes from your ridiculous, glorious strength, and that it would give him what he needs for endurance and patience with crazy joy. Lord, thank you for who he is. Thank you for your love for him, and thank you for this awesome moment together. We just love you and thank you and pray blessing over his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And
so something we started a few years ago is Corey Burkhart came to us with this really cool thing she saw at a church somewhere that maybe I'll let you say something about what you're going to read, and then I'll let you read for Austin. Does that work?
Yes.
Cool.
So something that we do now is biblically, God has given people names based on their purpose, and we've even seen where God has changed people's names to meet their purpose. And so Austin's name is Austin James. Austin means magnificent, and James means gift of God. And so the Bible verse that I have for him is, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not in your own doing. It is a gift of God." Ephesians 2:8. Congratulations.
Well, Carl, I'm going to invite you to sneak up here and join us, do that. And then we'll see if we'll have a little trust here with your son, see if he's going to pull you back up out of the water or not. Get you right up here on this side. And we're going to help hold your phone for you so you can. I asked Carl about sharing, and he definitely wants to share, but it's good to have heckle. I mean friends, not hecklers, what I say. Friends. So I'm going to hold this for you so you can read, or what would be the most helpful there?
You can hold it. First, thank you, all my friends and family, for being here. And in case I don't know, I know I don't know most of you, but my name is Carl Wright. I'm Austin's dad. And I have ALS. It's a terrible disease that eventually robs you of your ability to walk, hug the ones you love, your voice, and the ability to tell everyone you love them. And finally, it takes your ability to breathe. But one thing it doesn't take is your mind. It will never take my memories of my two sons, my five grandchildren, and my beautiful wife, Carrie, who is a lot more than a wife. She's been everything from a hardworking woman, a nurse, a cook, a mother, and someone who never gives up. But most of all, she's been the love of my life. I knew when I woke up this morning this day was special. Can't tell you how good it feels to have filled the void in my life by accepting the Lord into mine. I felt the love from everyone in here the first time I came through those doors. So please continue to pray for my family, which includes every one of you now. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Now, both you guys were plumbers, so we had a... It is pretty yellow. Yeah, we need a purification thing. You were just in here. Yeah, I don't know about that, man. It's always rough to have professionals in here. That's for sure. That's for sure. All right. Well, Carl, it's really special. I just want to say that, you know, we've met probably a time or two at a Christmas thing with the girls or something like that. But the last few weeks have been really special getting to connect with you guys. And as a church family, we're honored that you just want to be around us a little bit here as you navigate all these things with ALS and what you're walking through as a family. And you guys are loved and very much supported and cared about. So we're honored just to have you guys be a part of and wanting to be a part of this crazy group. So unfortunately, you fit right in. So I don't know what that says about you, but well, let's go ahead and we're going to do something really special here together. Your son's going to be a part of baptizing you, and that's a really beautiful thing. So, Carl, you've asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Is that correct?
Yes.
And today you'd like to be baptized in obedience to him?
Yes.
Right. Well, Carl, this day, your son, follower of Jesus, and me, crazy guy, I don't know, are super, super honored to have the privilege of baptizing you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Carl. Lord, thank you so much for your love for him, and thank you for his love for you. Lord, thank you for this special moment with his son and family to publicly proclaim so loudly his faith in you and his hope. Lord, Carl is facing some really, really hard things here in the reality of this broken world. But Lord, he's facing it with joy and hope because of who you are in his life. And Lord, though we may only know Carl for a short time in this crazy life that we get to live, we're so excited about the awesome adventures in eternity that we share because of our relationship with you and the hope that we have in Jesus. So Father, I pray over Carl. Lord, as we've prayed together as a church family, if you would take away this wretched disease he's got to face and walk and just bring healing to his body and restore him in the name of Jesus, we would ask that. And but Lord, I have a sneaking suspicion that as Roger shared, rather than running from the pain, holding your hand and walking through it as a shining light to those around him may very well be the mission of the bearing fruit and impacting people that you have for Carl. And so I pray, Lord, in all the days of his life here, that you would be present in ridiculously cool ways, that no matter what he feels or what he faces physically, Lord, that he would have such an overwhelming sense of your presence and your power and your love, that, Lord, there would be a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray that you would just be near to him in such a tangible way that everybody who hangs out with Carl, who sees him, who engages with him, feels like they just hung out with Jesus for a while. Just be with him, I pray, and with his whole family. And thank you for this beautiful moment together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. And Carl's name is Carlton Manley. Carlton means free man, and Manley means shared land. The Bible verse for Carl is, "And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:32.
Yep, you were right. He was hiding it from us, Livy. Yep. Okay. So, Livy, why don't you turn and face everybody here just a second? This is perfect. You have a lot more hair than most of the people I hang out with, so it's kind of cool. Now, I want you to know that at our school where I teach, there's triplet girls. And for the yearbook, only two of them were there. So we did a little secret thing where one of the girls, we took one picture, and then one of the three sisters, well, the two sisters over there, put her hair behind her head and scooted over and left a spot. And we took that picture, and we photoshopped it in. And nobody knew that there was one missing. So I just got to know. Show me that birthmark on your arm. Okay, this is Livy. I know now. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really know. But that would have been a pretty neat trick to try to play on me, but I'm on it. I know it's really you. And I'm excited about this. Are you excited about this baptism?
Yes.
Yeah. So do you have anything you want to say? I mean, your dad said a little bit. Your grandpa said a little bit. I've never known you not to say something, but, you know. Do you have anything you want to say?
No, not really.
Totally good. Totally good. There's a first time for everything, right? Let's do it. All right, why don't you hop into this warm bathtub? You might just, yeah, well, let's put you on your knees because I think that's going to work the best. Otherwise, no one will know what's happening but your dad and I, right? All right, so are you in trouble with your dad at all? I mean, don't answer that in front of everybody, but I'm just wondering how long he's going to hold you down just in case. Okay, okay, I think we should be good. Should be good. All right. Well, Livy, this is a pretty special thing, and you're plenty old enough to know about sin and the consequences of sin and the gift of salvation through Jesus, and we've talked about that a little bit, and that's something you know about. So in front of all these people watching you, are you trying to say that you've asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Right. And today you want to be baptized in front of all these people in obedience to Jesus and show them that you're for real and all that, huh?
Yes.
All right. Well, then I think we should totally do that. You ready? No. Okay, fair enough. Here we go. All right. So, Livy, this day, your dad and I get the awesome honor of baptizing you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here we go.
Great job.
Well, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for Livy. Thank you for her heart and her passion, for the sparkle in her eye. Lord, thank you for her love for you and her desire to publicly make that a statement to everyone around her. Thank you so much for the light that she is shining in the kids group and to other people in all the different ways, Lord, that she points people to you. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just bless her and protect her in all the days ahead in her life. As she grows and matures and walks through all kinds of choices and challenges and adventures, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would walk beside her, perhaps to jog to keep up with her, but Lord, you'd be present in so many awesome ways and awesome things as she tries to follow you every day. Lord, I pray that you would protect her, that you guard her heart and mind in Christ Jesus, and you help her to always hold on to the truth and keep her eyes fixed on you. And Lord, I pray that you would bring her day by day, chapter by chapter, adventure by adventure, into just amazing life that bears fruit, that's full of joy. And Lord, thank you for the awesome person that she is in our family here. We just love you and thank you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Livy's full name is Olivia Christine. Olivia meaning peace, and Christine meaning follower of Christ or anointed. Her Bible verse is, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." 2 Thessalonians 3:16.
All right. So that'd be a good verse, Mom and Dad, to memorize, you know, when Livy's getting crazy. You're just like, peace, remember peace? We all heard it, peace. Telling you. Oh, twins, so fun, so fun. Hey, being part of family is fun and celebrating together is fun. God is so good. Thank you guys for letting us be a part of that awesome time together and celebrating your baptism here. There'll be a certificate Corey's got for you when your fingers are dry. But as I pray in closing, we're going to let you guys make your way carefully to the back. There's a blue tarp to stand on because we want people to be able to at least high-five you or give you knuckles or something on the way out. Because as your church family, we're really, really proud of you guys and honored to get to be a part of all this. So as you guys make your way, and yeah, family, if you want to sneak back that direction, that's totally cool. I'll dismiss us after we pray here, and then you guys can kind of get in position for the big celebration line. And Livy, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was told that every time you get baptized, you're supposed to go out for ice cream for lunch. I don't know if that's true. No? Okay, Austin says it's not true. Never mind. Definitely not a thing. Definitely not a thing. All right. Well, you guys can make your way down there. Dad, I don't know if you want to help me make the step down. Are you got there, Rusty? And we'll let you guys slip by. That way you can get there before everybody else charges down the aisles. Not that people are excited to get out of here, right? Okay. Just making sure we're on the same page with that. Hey, White Rock, you're an amazing family. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Roger, thank you for sharing today. Really grateful for your heart and your willingness to put yourself out there and take your 5 minutes and max it into 20-ish and some really, really great things. And graduates, we're thinking big things, man. We believe in you. We believe what God has molded and shaped in your life, and we're trusting God to take you guys in some pretty amazing adventures that make all of eternity look different. Love the phrase, make heaven crowded, right? Let's take a bunch of people with us, help them to know the truth that sets them free. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your incredible love for us, the invitation to be part of your family, the gift of being able to walk from darkness and sin and brokenness and despair to hope and life and joy. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of getting to celebrate baptism together with the right family. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hear the message that you laid on Roger's heart for us. Lord, thank you for celebrating with our graduates. Lord, I pray in this week ahead you'd speak powerfully to our teenagers, that you use our leaders and speak to them as well. Lord, I pray that for each of us, we would have patient endurance filled with joy as we walk out what it means to follow you this week. Thank you for your incredible love, Jesus. In your name we pray all these things. Amen.